book of Genesis then, and the chapter 37 and the verse 5, we read Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And verse 8, and his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. They hated him. Hated without a cause. Hated without a cause. That's Joseph. When Joseph appears on the scene in Genesis chapter 37, he does so in the midst of both great love and great hatred. That's how the camera in verses 2 through to 4 and even beyond introduces us to this young man. On the one hand, Israel loved him more than all his brethren. He's loved much and he's loved more. He is the chief love of his father. But then on the other hand, verse 4, all his brethren, they hated him. And then verse 5, they hated him yet the more. And then verse 8, they hated him yet the more. So he's loved the more, but he's also hated the more. Extreme love, extreme hatred. And that's how we are introduced to this lad. He is sandwiched between these two things. And as one sandwiched between these two things, intensely loved by his father, yet intensely hated by his brethren, he is thus a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because isn't that how the Lord Jesus Christ is portrayed in the Gospels when he appeared on the scene and when he came in the days of his flesh among his kinsmen according to the flesh, supremely loved by his father, but supremely hated by the children of Israel. And so it is a picture of Christ, this lad. It's wonderful to be loved, but it's awful to be hated. It hurts to be hated. And that love that Jesus Christ experienced by his Father in heaven is more intense than anything Joseph experienced. But also the hatred that Jesus Christ experienced on earth is more intense than any hatred Joseph experienced. So even the degree of this is greater in the life of our heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes the Lord Jesus even referred to that hatred. He felt it, and he sometimes referred to it. He, in actual fact, referred to it in the upper room that night that he was betrayed. He said, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among you them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. And the Lord Jesus is quoting there from Psalm 69, that messianic psalm, and he's saying, that's me. They that hate me without a cause, he says, are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. They're many, and they're mighty that hate me and would destroy me. And he says, they hate me without a cause. They hate me wrongfully. Wrongfully, as he put it. We did see on one occasion that there is such a thing as a righteous hatred. But this is a wrong hatred, a wicked hatred, an unjust and an unkind hatred. And the Lord Jesus felt it, and Joseph undoubtedly felt it as well. Hated without a cause. But surely there must be a cause. There is no effect without a cause. And if the effect is hatred, a terrible effect, there must be some cause. There must be. How then could Jesus be hated without a cause? If there's no effect without a cause, and hatred is a mighty effect, the answer is he can't be hated without a cause. There must be a cause. There must be reasons, and there are reasons. When he says, I'm hated without a cause, the meaning is that there's no cause in him. I'm hated without a cause in myself. There's no reason within me why they should hate me. There's no justice in it. I'm hated wrongfully. And the cause is a sinful cause, a wicked cause, an unjust and a wrong cause. And so when the Lord says, I'm hated without a cause, he means without a just cause. There's no just reason for it. And so that's what he means when he says this. The Lord Jesus, of course, was sinless. He was perfectly sinless, and yet he was hated. And the hatred to him was born out of the wickedness of the hearts of those that hated him. The cause was in them, not in him. And that's what he means. So the cause of the hatred is the depravity of their wicked hearts. And that cause was vile, and their hearts were twisted. And that's why wicked men hate, because they have wicked, twisted hearts. And it's wrongful hatred then, wicked hatred, the hatred of something just and the hatred of something that is good. That's what bad hearts do. They hate good people, they hate good things, because they're bad, not because there's anything wrong with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was good, and Joseph was good. That's what we've been saying. Joseph's a good man, and yet he's hated. To hate a good man, men and women, is a sure sign of awful depravity. We should never hate good men, and we should never hate good things. Why was Joseph hated then? For the very simple reason that he was good. He was good, but his brothers were envious. His brothers were wicked. And the problem is not Joseph. The problem is his brothers and their hearts. And whenever we read this passage, and as the Holy Spirit intends us to read this passage, we're not to find fault in Joseph. Joseph's not to blame in the passage. The hatred is unjust. It's wrong. It's the hatred of the evil for the good. And so the Holy Spirit, I don't feel, in painting this passage to us, is in any way blaming Joseph. And we're not to look for fault in Joseph. I know some commentators are doing that, but we're not to do that. That's not how the Holy Spirit is painting this. The most horrendous aspect of this hatred for Joseph is that it is the hatred of his brethren. It's a brother's hatred. And the narrative account is always highlighting that. In fact, one of the most common words in this chapter is the word brother or brethren. I think it occurs about 20 times, or maybe even more. The relationship is constantly by the Holy Spirit being portrayed and being painted. This isn't just the hatred of some men. His brethren hated him. It's the hatred of brothers. It was his own. He came to his brethren. He came to his kinsmen. He came to his own family. He came to his house. They hated him. That's the most horrendous aspect of this. Usually in a house, faults are covered over, and because of the love of the home, it is not turned into hatred because of faults and mistakes and misjudgments. And yet his brethren hated him. Brethren, love one another. Hatred among brothers is unthinkable in the Bible. And God especially abhors it in his family. You'll remember how 1 John deals so much with this. If a man hates his brother, he's just a murderer. Full stop. It's unthinkable. It's unthinkable that a man could hate his brother. It's something that God abhors. It's something that good people can't understand. And to be hated by a brother has additional painfulness. This hatred, in actual fact, is like Cain's. The start of the book of Genesis deals with two brothers, and it ends with many brothers. The start of the book of Genesis ends with one brother hating another brother, and it ends with many brothers hating one brother. Joseph stands in the line of Abel. Joseph has experienced what Abel experienced, only he's experienced it far more. It's not one brother now, Cain, that just hates him. It's all his brethren hate him. And so Genesis closes in a way that it opens. The same hatred, the hatred of a brother, the same satanic, serpent-inspired hatred for the righteous, righteous Abel, righteous Joseph. It's the same satanic hatred. It's the same. The very same hatred that Satan himself had for Adam and Eve in their state of innocence. He hated them in their innocence. He hated them for the goodness that they had. He envied them. He hated them for the love that God had for them. He hated Adam and Eve and sought to destroy them. And Cain has the very same hatred. And Joseph's brethren have the very same hatred. Here's a man loved of his father. Here's a man they envy. Here's a man they want to destroy. It's satanic hatred. It's satanic hatred. And that's how the Holy Spirit paints it. And we're not to find fault with Joseph. Joseph's not the problem. Why did they hate Joseph? Hate it without a cause. There are several reasons why they hated him. First, it's quite obvious that they were envious of his position and his privileges that had been sovereignly bestowed upon him by the old patriarch. The old patriarch Israel, their father loved Joseph. Their father chose Joseph. Their father bestowed upon Joseph the coat of many colors. And the Bible tells us, 37 verse 11, his brethren envied him. Joseph's father, bestowing upon him the privileges, bestowing upon him the position, they envied him for that. They envied the love that he received. They envied the coat that he received. They envied the responsibilities that he was given by their father. They were just madly jealous. Even if Jacob had fault in doing all of that, and that's a questionable matter, and I don't think he has fault. I think it's his sovereign right, and he's led by God in this matter, so I'm not putting fault in Jacob. But even if he had fault, even if Jacob was wrong, it wasn't Joseph's fault. It wasn't Joseph's fault that his father loved him more than all the brethren. It wasn't Joseph's fault that he was given by the old patriarch this coat and this position and these privileges. It wasn't Joseph's fault. So why should they hate Joseph? They should have hated their father if they're going to hate anybody. But they hated, they envied him. It was him, the lad. They envied him. Joseph did no wrong. He was just loved too much, and he was just gifted too much. It wasn't his fault. And yet he's hated. He's hated. And men and women, what I'm saying to you, that's a wicked thing. That you should hate a man for his position that he's been given in the providence and sovereignty of God? That you should hate a man because he's a better position than you, or he's more gifts than you? That you should hate that man? That you should envy him? Do you not see how wrong that is? How that is so discontent with God's sovereignty, with the sovereignty of the patriarch of all, the Father of glory? We shouldn't envy anybody their position. We shouldn't envy anybody their wealth or their riches. We shouldn't envy anybody the coat of many colors that they have been given in the sovereignty and providence of God. We shouldn't be jealous. To be envious against anybody says more about us than it does about that man that we envy. It's wrong to envy. And envy is soon transformed into hatred. They resented Joseph, and that resentment just led to hatred. And the hatred led to hurt. First of all, it started off with name calling. Yeah, here's a dreamer coming. Here he comes, this dreamer. Just started off with names, but it soon went beyond that. Soon went to lies and deceit and hurt, physical hurt, and nearly murder. Envy leads to hatred, brethren and sisters. We must guard against it. We must not envy someone for the love he receives from others. We must not envy someone for the gifts and talents that he receives from God. We must never resent any man's position or any man's privileges. It evidences a wicked heart. We must never be discontent with providence. We must be humble, and we must humbly submit to the sovereignty of God. Why were they envious? Well, the problem is really lack of humility. They couldn't take the humble place. And the problem is that they thought they were better than Joseph. That really is, they thought they were better. He's just 17. He's just a baby in the house. We're the adults. We're the experienced ones. You know, we're the ones that are married and have families. And so they thought they were better than Joseph. This is a problem. Hatred and envy and pride is all connected together. They're all found together in the human heart. You know, Pontius Pilate was a very discerning man. He was a very discerning of the human heart. And he was very discerning of why the Jews delivered Jesus. He wasn't a stupid man. He wasn't a good man, that is true. He was a very bad man. But his badness enabled him to discern men. And he knew why the Jews delivered Jesus. He examined Jesus. I find no fault in him. He knew that for envy they delivered him. For envy. Whenever somebody talks about somebody else or runs down somebody else, that is usually the problem. They haven't really done that much wrong. The problem is that person just hates them. So when people talk to me about others, that's what I look for. So don't come to me talking about others. I don't want to hear about it. We expose our hearts. Envy and hatred is quickly manifested and revealed. And we shouldn't hate. We should love. We should desire the good of all people. We don't have to run down and attack and malign people and destroy people. We don't have to be like Joseph's brothers. A new commandment I give you, Jesus said, to the brethren, that ye love one another. And so Pilate could read into the depths of badness in the human heart. And he knew why Christ was delivered up. Jealousy was the reason. They envied Christ. They envied him, his talents, his abilities, his miracles, his power. They envied the love that he evidently seemed to have of God in his life. They just were jealous of him. They were proud and self-righteous, and they were despisers of the meek and lowly Jesus. They hated me without a cause. Wrongfully, he says. So envy is a big problem with these brothers. But then secondly, Joseph was hated because he was righteously honest. It says there in verse 2 that Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Joseph spoke the truth about his brethren. Now, the Holy Spirit has put in this wee paint stroke here in this passage, and he's doing it for a reason. He's showing us why he's being hated. And this is one of the reasons. He's going back to his father with a report about his brothers that isn't good. And they're hating him because of that. So Joseph is speaking about his brethren. Now, I know there are those who want to blame Joseph here and say he's just tale-bearing, you know, tattling, as it were, telling on his brothers. He's a busybody, a tattletale, just leaving slanted, as it were, news to his advantage and to put his brothers in bad light and to their disadvantage. I know there are those commentators who might try to portray that in Joseph, but I don't think that's what the Holy Spirit means. I think the context, it's unfair to say that of Joseph. It's clear that the father sends Joseph to keep an eye on his sons. It's clear he gives Joseph the responsibility of watching over them and reporting them. He gives them the coat of many colors. He makes him, as it were, the prince among them. And he sends him, we read there in verse 14, he said to him, "Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again." So Joseph is constantly sent to the brothers to check on them, to check on the flocks, and to come back again with the report. Bring me word again. And very often the word that he had to bring back wasn't good, because they're not good men. Experience has taught Jacob these men need checked. And if you read the early accounts in the chapters of Genesis, sometimes these brothers didn't get up to much good. And chapter 38 tells us about Judah. He didn't get up to much good. And Jacob had to live in that land as peaceably as he could, and he tried to keep an eye on his sons. And he knew Joseph was a good son. He's one he could depend upon. And he sent him to do it. He was commissioned to do it. He was told to watch over them and to come back with the report. And the thing is, he comes back with the truth. And Joseph is just a man who says, "Father, they did this, they did that, they did the other." He just says the truth. He's doing his job right. But they don't like it. He calls sin, sin. He says it the way it is. He reports it as he sees it. He has a commission to do it. He is the patriarch's representative, and he has a responsibility in this area. Now, to them, he was a talebearer. But to his father, he was a truth teller. And this is a good thing in Joseph. And we believe this honesty is out of a good motive. Obedience to his father, the welfare of his father's goods, the sheep, and even the long-term good of his brothers. I don't think that we could assume anything else. It was a good thing whenever Eli heard the evil report about his sons, wasn't it? Didn't he come and say, when he was very old, he says, he heard all that his sons had did unto Israel, how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the congregation. And he said to him, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil doings among the people. Nay, my sons, it's no good report that I hear. He heard an evil report. Jacob heard the evil report. But it was the truth. A father needs to hear the evil report about his children, if it's true. It wasn't wrong that Eli, it was true what Eli heard. The only thing was, it was a bit late and he was very old when he heard it. But at least he heard it. And this evil report, Jacob heard it, and it was the truth. You remember how Paul said to the Corinthians, he says, it's been declared unto me of you, my brethren, that there are divisions among you. I've got this report. And he didn't get a nameless report, he says, because I got it from the house of Chloe. It was told unto me, and I believe it, by the house of Chloe, that there are divisions among you. An evil report, a true report. Often good people are hated, you see, by bad people when they tell the truth. I'm sure Chloe's house wasn't too much loved after that. But they did right, because they were concerned about God's house. And if they're going to hate the house of Chloe because of it, well then, that just shows the badness in the hearts of those who were contentious. Good people are hated, men and women, when they tell the truth. Let us be sure that we are not like that. That we hate people for telling the truth. Don't hate a good person for telling the truth. Joseph here pictures Christ, doesn't he? He was hated for telling the truth. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, he says, because I testify of it. I tell that its works are evil. I give an evil report of its works, and it hates me. That's why Jesus was hated, because he said sin, sin, and that's wrong, and this isn't right. And they didn't like him. They hated him for telling the truth. He says, they can't hate you because you can't do that, and you don't do that. But when you tell the truth, and whenever you call sin, sin, and when you expose the works of the world, they'll hate you. The world will hate you. Call sin, sin, and you'll soon be hated like Jesus Christ. Testify of the world that its deeds are wicked, and you'll soon be treated like Joseph was treated. Name the so-called social justices of this world by their biblical names. And even your unconverted loved ones will hate you. That's the age we're in. But we still have to call sin, sin, and tell the truth, and give the evil report of the evil deeds of the world. That's why he was hated. But our text reveals why they hated him yet more and more. Because it says, Joseph told dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him the more. They hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. You see, Joseph had dreams. He had two dreams, in actual fact. The two dreams that were easy to interpret. And whenever he told his dreams to his brethren and to his father, they could understand what those dreams meant. Because these weren't ordinary dreams. He was given them by God. These dreams were revelations. You see, his old father, God spoke to his old father that way, through dreams. They did that in the early prophets. God communicated by dreams. Dreams were a divine revelation. And they were actually God's word in those early days of the human race. Joseph was obviously only a lad, 17 years of age, but God was coming to him and giving him revelations and giving him dreams. And his brothers knew this. And it wasn't so much the dreams, it was the fact that this young man's being picked out to receive the gift of his father. The gift of revelations from God.
And they're envying him for that as well, that God's communicating to him, that the prophetic gift in the patriarchal family is passing from Jacob, not to them, but to him, the lad. And they're envious of him, and they hate him for his dreams. Even apart from the content of them, the very fact that he's getting them. And the problem was not so much the dreams, the problem was that he told them. And of course the commentators are, you know, they're quick to hit Joseph. Anyway, Joseph shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have been telling his dreams. Why not? Why not? He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. And if God give him a word, why shouldn't he tell it? Why shouldn't he tell? Did God give it to him to keep up a secret and lock it up? No, God doesn't give you revelation to keep up secret and lock it up. He gives his word to be told. And Joseph told it. He told the dreams. They may even have asked him. He could have said, I had dreams. And then, of course, whenever you say that, oh, tell us your dream, what's your dream? They'd want to hear it, wouldn't they? Of course, whenever they heard it, they wish they hadn't heard it. But it was God's word, you see. And they hated him for his dreams, and they hated him for his words, and they were God's dreams, and they were God's words. They understood what it meant, and they hated him. They didn't hate the God that gave the dreams. Well, really they were in their hearts, but it was being all directed against Joseph. Joseph's just a channel, that's all. And so they mocked him, and particularly in that era. Here's a dreamer coming. Let's be clear about this. These brothers knew God spoke to their father by dreams, and now he's speaking to Joseph by them. This is God's word. And they resent it. The brothers feared that it was God's word, and they resented it and said, we'll not bow to you, Joseph. It doesn't matter what you dream. Doesn't matter what you dream or how often you tell this dream. I'll tell you, Joseph, we know in our hearts we'll not be bound to you. Little did they know. Little did they know that God's word comes true no matter what people think or say. It doesn't return void. They'll be bound someday. Even Jacob, the old patriarch, he'll be bound someday. God told Joseph. And he just humbly told the dream. Men and women, God's word declared faithfully and truthfully should not turn you into a hater of the preacher. Don't hate the preacher because he preaches God's word the way it is. Don't hate the preacher because it's in the text and it comes naturally out of the text. Don't hate the messenger because of his message. Because it says things that cut your prey. Because it says things that humbles you and brings you down a peg or two. And God's word does that to us all. Because we need to be a humble people. And better God's word humbling us than trials and afflictions and plagues to bring us down. Better to be humbled by the word of God and to believe it and to receive it and not to bite the head off the messenger. Because you don't like it. The story is like that of our Lord Jesus Christ. His word was resisted, you see. He was put under oath by the high priest, you remember. Tell us the truth. Are you the Son of God? Tell us your dreams. What are your dreams, Jesus of Nazareth? And he told them his dreams. I am, he says, the Son of God. And hereafter you'll see him coming in the clouds of glory. And you'll bow before him. Every knee will bow before him. He told the high priest his dreams. And they hated him yet the more. And they crucified him. They crucified Jesus for telling his dreams, the word of his father. This dreamer,
We need hear no more. Take him away. Let us slay him. Let us kill him. And then let us see what will become of his dreams. And so they crucified the Son of God. And they don't think they're going to see him come in glory. And they're going to have to bow before him. But they will. Caiaphas will have to do it yet. Before him every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Christ's dreams will be fulfilled, just like Joseph's. And so the heavenly Joseph tells his dreams. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth unto me. Every knee shall bow. Your sheaves bowed before me. The sun and the moon and the stars, I saw them, they bowed before me. All of them in earth bowed before me. All of them in heaven bowed before me. And before Jesus Christ, every knee will bow. And we're not to hate Joseph because he preached that word. And the Sanhedrin shouldn't have hated Jesus Christ because he preached that word. And we should not hate any gospel preacher because he preaches that word. How do we respond to God's word, men and women? I hope it's not like the life of the brethren of Joseph. I hope you're not like him or like them. Shall we indeed bow to you, Jesus? Shall we indeed bow to you, Joseph? Shall you indeed have dominion over us? You shall not have dominion over us. You shall not reign over us. Are you like that to Jesus Christ? Do you say to Jesus, you'll not reign over me? I don't want you to have dominion in my life. Don't speak like that to Jesus. His brethren said, we will not have this man to reign over us. No, no. Receive him as your Lord and King and bow before him and don't resist him and hate him. Do not reject the heavenly Joseph.